station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning. Welcome to Tuesday, October 1st.
Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
We're starting a new but rabbit, rabbit.
Yeah, yeah. You have to say rabbit three times.
Why?
At the first of every month for good luck.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Well, thanks for doing that for us.
Yes, you're welcome.
Now
you have to do it too,
luck.
Sam.
Okay, well, we're going to have good luck anyway.
All right.
Rabbit, rabbit, but rabbit. Okay,
there we go. There we Thank go. You. Yeah,
is
I
that,
don't even.
Is that from rabbit's foot or something?
No,
or
it might be. I don't even know where it came from. I think my grandfather came up with it, right, Ma?
Really?
Yeah. He would just start saying it, and I don't know. Ever since I was little,
uh-huh.
we just grew up saying it. So it's like.
Okay. Well, thanks
I don't
for
know.
Saying that. Maybe it'll give us some good
so,
luck.
So yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Good luck for the month, everybody.
Cool. So you brought your mom. She's not on the mic today. She was for a couple times since she got here from Chicago.
Yeah.
And she's going back today, right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you guys have fun?
Afternoon.
I'm sure you did, right? You had
oh,
a lot
my
of
gosh.
Fun
yeah. We always have fun. We had a great time.
You're like friends, right?
Oh, yeah. It's besties.
Cool. Yeah.
For sure.
It's cool. It's very cool. I like that.
Yeah.
So,
awesome.
Yeah. But she's not going to be on the mic today because we have two guests that we're going to bring in just a second. So, Mom is just here for inspiration.
Exactly.
How you doing, Mia? Are you still feeling sick?
I don't know. I can't shake this thing. I don't get it. I literally went to bed last night at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I got really, really great sleep. Mm-hmm. And I woke up this morning and I'm still like, especially my left side, like my tonsils. I know it sounds gross, but they're like super swollen.
Mm. Okay,
and I'm like, I never get sick. I don't understand why I can't shake this.
Good. Well, if we get sick, we're going to come back to you.
I know, right? Well, I think I got sick from having the other guest that was in here that was sick.
Yeah.
That is my only explanation. So.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
well.
You've had it for a few days. You're probably not contagious anymore. So.
Yeah, probably
fine.
Not. I hope not. Yeah, it's just like sinus. That's not contagious. That's my sinuses, my ear pressure being clogged and whatnot.
And
so.
I'm sure that the concert didn't help any of that. You know? It just made it worse.
You know, it's just one of those things. I mean, I had to go all out. I mean, I waited my whole life for that, so I'm like, okay, I can make an exception for one night. It was worth it, but
But it sure doesn't help when you're sick.
You know? No.
You come back with no voice, your ears are ringing.
Yeah. No, they're not ringing. That's just from the sinus pressure.
Yeah, but
like
I mean,
the airplane.
In general, I know it happens to me when I go to a concert, I can't hear anything for 2 days after that, you know.
Really?
But God, it's been a long time since I've been to a concert. Yeah, I mean, some of them are very, very loud.
That's
true.
You know,
it depends where you sit.
The Staples Center is pretty well structured.
You think?
So, yeah, I think so. I don't think their sound is too bad.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
That's good. Awesome.
Yeah.
So it was at the Staples, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's good.
All right. Well, I just want to bring up a couple of things. This was interesting because the other day this guy who is the CEO of Barilla, which is a pasta company.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. He
I'm
came
Italian,
out.
Italian, of course.
Yeah. So yeah, that's an Italian company, and he came out and said that he was not going to have any gay people in his commercials because
what?
He only believes in traditional family.
Oh boy.
And I thought, you know, CEOs should not be allowed to say things like this.
Yeah,
you know,
look,
I mean,
what happened to Chick-fil-A.
I know.
Everybody's like up in arms about it. Like,
they don't
man.
Stop. They don't stop these people. They don't understand. Keep your opinions to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is business, you know? But at any rate, so now he's apologizing, which was expected. You know, I mean, they always do.
Right, yeah, you know? But still, now, you know,
yeah,
everybody's going to go to, you know, Prego or whatever the other
exactly.
brand
well, that's,
is.
But that's what he said. He said, you know, when people asked him about it, he said, well, if people don't want to eat our pasta, they can get other people's pasta. So, jeez. You know, that's a way to run a business, right?
Nah,
so now he did a video and he put it on Facebook and stuff, apologizing and everything.
Yeah, but so, it's like, why even do that in the first place? You see what happens to other companies that do it.
Right, yeah.
Like, hello, you haven't learned from their mistakes? Like,
right.
Just shut it.
Yeah,
like, there's
exactly.
no reason that he had to say that. He could be like, oh, I just didn't pick them to be, you know, for our advertisements, for, you know, whatever other reason. Like,
right.
He doesn't have to say that. Like,
right.
That's not nice.
No, he doesn't, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, some people are just like, they don't think about what they say.
Right.
And, or they have a strong conviction that they're right, you know.
Yeah, and especially with, you know, all the social media today. I mean, everything is documented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't escape from anything now.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, you really got to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Exactly.
I had
you
to,
know,
I'm sorry. Gangster moment.
Yeah, and you know, so and gays are just like, I mean, it's pretty accepted now, you know, around the world. I mean, people don't make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
So for him to come out and say this is really going back many years, you know. So
yeah.
I'm happy about that he's apologizing.
He's
yeah, I don't mm-hmm. know if he means any of it, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I don't really care about him. Never heard of him before. I won't ever hear of him again. So the government is shut down. And
oh, that's right.
Yeah. But usually they say it takes between 1 and 3 days and they're back, you know. Hmm. So we'll see what happens.
We shall see.
Yeah. That's ridiculous, you know. It's really ridiculous.
I know.
But yeah. Anyway, so have you ever been to the Hollywood Bowl?
I have.
Yeah.
I love the Hollywood Bowl. I saw a couple of concerts there.
Uh-huh.
I saw Florence and the Machine,
uh-huh.
which was really cool.
Yeah.
And then I saw Mumford and Sons.
You did?
Which was amazing.
Okay.
Yes.
Never heard of either one of those, but if you say it was good, I'll uh-huh. agree.
Sam, do you live under a rock?
I'm into rock, yeah, but not...
No, do you...
What? Oh, under a rock.
Under a rock.
Oh, okay.
Have
no, I'm into rock
either
music.
One of these bands.
Never heard of them.
Well, Mumford and Sons is very like, I don't
yeah,
know,
I've
it's kind of like
name,
like popular, like almost like folk music meets, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's awesome.
Okay.
They're so,
no wonder
they're
I
so
never
talented.
Heard of them. Folk music.
But it's like mixed with like a modern kind of twist almost. Like
yeah.
It's very. Yeah, they're very, very good.
I'll have to check it
and
out.
And then Florence and the Machine, it's that, you know, redheaded chick, Florence Welsh, I think, is her name. And, yeah, she's just got such a unique, incredible voice. I think her first big breakout song was that song, like, Dog Days.
Mm.
And, yeah, that, I mean, that was played everywhere. It
really?
Was super popular. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I guess I have been under
a couple different
rock.
Albums that are really good out, and she's, yeah, really
yeah.
talented.
Sounds
but, yeah.
good.
Needless to say, I love the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, the Hollywood Bowl is cool. There's all kinds of nice concerts there and stuff. So
yeah.
It's usually not noisy
have you,
concerts.
Have you been?
Well. Yeah, I've been a few times. I don't
who
remember who I
there?
Saw
you
there.
You don't remember?
I think Earth, Wind, and Fire, I think I saw there, which was amazing.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, you know, it was nice, yeah. So, yeah, anyway, let's bring in our guests who are sitting here patiently waiting for their turn. They have a lot to say. They always do. We have Gordon Meyer and we have Jeff Levy in the studio. Welcome to the show, guys.
Good
rabbit,
morning.
Rabbit, rabbit.
There you go.
Thank you.
So you've heard of that before.
No.
Triple
no.
rabbit.
No.
But you just, okay, I haven't either.
And
so
if,
it must
you
be
saw
your
Earth,
grandfather's
just,
invention.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
just a me
you
thing.
You went to see Earth, Wind, and Fire. That must have been an '06 or something.
No, not really. Oh,
no, I know. It's a great group.
Oh, no, I mean, yeah, it wasn't too long ago because they reunited and stuff. So it was a few years
like
back.
Like the Eagles.
Yeah. Like the Eagles, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the Eagles I have a problem with because Don Henley gets under my skin sometimes, you know. I don't know. He's like too, I don't know. I don't want to get into it. Doesn't matter. It's music. I love the Eagles, you know.
Do you like Norah Jones?
Norah Jones, I know of her, but I never listened to her music, so I don't know. I guess you do.
My son played guitar for her for about 10 years. I have to.
Really? Wow.
Oh, that's cool.
That's amazing.
And Tracy Chapman before that.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's a guitar player.
He is a guitar player.
How old is he now?
47.
Oh, really? So he's been playing a while.
I was a father at age 12, you know.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it. Yeah.
Right.
So, Gordon, welcome to the show, too.
Thank you so much, Sam.
And you guys are friends. You've been friends for a while. And you have a new show here on our station called Tech Twins. And that's Fridays at 7 on Channel 2 right here on LA Talk Radio.
7 p.m.
Correct. 7 p.m., that's right. And, yeah, we're not on the air 7 a.m. It's too early for
too
us.
Too early.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
I got to get some sleep. You know, I'm not up before 8:30.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah, we live that. This
yeah.
is true.
Wow.
So you guys are totally, like, into tech, right? When did you start realizing, Jeff, that you like gadgets and computers and stuff?
1976, I got the first Radio Shack computer.
Really?
It was called the TRS-80, or as Gordon would say, the Trash 80.
Right.
And I wrote a program for it that said hello on the screen.
Really?
And it just scrolled forever.
How did you know to write the program?
That's a good question. I studied programming because I did a lot of wrote a lot of programs for the state of California.
Oh, wow.
What a disaster for me.
Yeah. So you're pretty technical. I mean, you go into the programming and everything, right?
I've been there.
Yeah. Very cool.
Gordon, of course, is a tech writer.
Okay.
And I've spent the last 16 years on terrestrial radio here
right.
in Los Angeles. So between the two right. of us, we pretty much cover the whole spectrum.
That's cool, yeah. So, and, you know, and it's nice because, you know, usually you talk about gadgets and technology and stuff. It's like the young people get all the attention and stuff, you know. But it's like we've been there for a while, you know. We know how things have progressed and everything. So it's amazing how far we've gotten, you know. I mean, when you started in 76, you had those trashy computers. Today we carry our computers in our pocket, you know. So things have changed quite a bit, you know.
Sam, one thing that's changed, when I was a younger man, and I think Gordon will agree, you go to a coffee shop and people are writing poetry, reciting
right.
poetry, singing, playing guitar, and talking. Now everybody's eyes are locked on a screen.
Right.
I could be standing over somebody with a bloody axe. They wouldn't notice.
They wouldn't know that you're there, huh?
pretty much.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? You know, I mean, that's...
Order your coffee and get the heck out.
Yeah. You know, but times are changing, you know, and that's the thing is that I think we have to embrace that. You know, we tend to say, oh, back in our days and all that stuff. But mm-hmm. the thing is that, you know, life is beautiful and it's just evolving and we have to get used to it, you know. I mean, sometimes the music gets worse, you know, like Mumford and Sons or whatever. But
what do you mean worse? You've never even heard them before.
It doesn't compare to the 70s and 80s music. Nothing does, you know. But okay, I'll accept that. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but nothing compares to Spike Jones and his City Slickers.
Oh, my
Look
God.
It up on YouTube.
I suppose you love Lawrence Welk, too. Wonderful,
oh,
wonderful.
God. Oh, God, Lawrence Welk, that's a different generation.
Oh, well, no. The Spike Jones, well.
Ragtime.
Just, no, that wasn't ragtime. That was just really cornball humor with music.
Okay.
Like I said, look it up on YouTube.
Cool. So now, Gordon, are you originally from L.A.?
I'm actually originally from St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
And I came to L.A. to go to film school at USC.
Nice. Well, you were young at the time. Was that like right out of high school or did you wait?
No, actually, I did my freshman sophomore year at the University of Georgia because my parents moved to Atlanta from St. Louis. So that was just convenient place to get my core curriculum out of the way.
Right.
And then I transferred to USC.
Oh, wow. Did you move here by yourself or
yeah.
with your family?
No, by myself. My mom still lives in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad passed away about 3 years ago, but obviously, you know, they were there together for many, many years.
Nice. So you must have been pretty smart to be accepted into USC.
Well, I like to think so.
Yeah. Notice I said you must have been. I don't know about now, but...
You've been hanging around Jeff too long.
Yeah, I know.
You betcha.
I know. I'm getting his jokes now. His sense of humor, yeah. So, So you went to film. Yeah, go ahead.
That's an important part of our show, mm-hmm. is we make tech understandable and simple, mm-hmm. with humor.
That's good. That's the way to do it.
Some of the things we bring, for example, yeah. Have you seen any computers running Windows 8?
Yeah, I have one.
There is nothing on that screen that tells you how to shut it off.
That's
nothing.
True. That's true.
So we talk about things like that.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. And we'll talk about that. We'll get to that in a minute as well. But that's the thing, you know. I mean, things have changed quite a bit. And I love to read about computer history and everything. Have you guys had a chance to go to the Computer Museum up in San Jose? Whenever you're up there, you should go. It's amazing. I mean, they've got all the machines from the beginning, you know.
I used to sell many of those machines.
Did you really?
Yeah. Many years ago, there was a retail chain here in Southern California called the Federated Group.
Yes.
Which
with
was
Federated.
Kind of like with Federated, yeah. who was a very strange man. Yeah. It was Shadow Stevens.
Shadow Stevens. I sat on a panel with him last year at Talkers Magazine Conference. He's a lot of fun.
He is. Very nice guy. And he and his crew created these bizarre commercials, like Rabid Frog Days.
Yeah.
But
that was like 20, 30 years ago here in the Valley. You know, they used to have this chain, Federated Group, and they were like Best Buy.
They owned the market in Southern California until management sold out to the family that owned Atari, and then it just kind of ran it into the ground.
Oh, wow. So
but
that's what happened.
When I was there, I ran the computer department in their flagship store. That's how I got into the business.
Oh, okay.
Because everybody else was intimidated by the technology and I wasn't. And I knew they were high ticket items.
Yeah.
So I sold the Commodore VIC-20, the Commodore 64, the obscure little computers like the Tomy Tudor or the Coleco Atom, which was interesting because it was a glorified game machine that they attached a printer to.
Right. And they made it into a work machine.
And they made it into kind of sort of a work machine.
Right.
And I sold CPMs. We sold an Apple II clone called the Franklin Ace.
I remember that one. Mia is like, you guys are talking about it.
This is all completely foreign sounding.
Okay,
to
well, we'll get to iPhones
and,
in a minute.
And early IBM compatibles. Let me put it
oh,
in.
Oh, IBM. I'm for okay, that.
We used to say about IBM, you can buy better, but you can't pay more.
Right.
It stands for iBill Monthly, IBM. You mentioned Coleco. Aren't they the company that had the Cabbage Patch doll?
Same company.
Do you know what Coleco stands for?
Connecticut Leather Company.
Really? How do you like that for diversifying?
They made computers. Wow.
Now, well, they made toys.
Yeah.
And the Coleco Atom was a spinoff of a game platform that they came up with. This was in the mid-'80s.
Wow.
You know, people think that things like the PlayStation is new.
Not new.
No. Video games have been with us since the mid-'80s.
Actually, 70s, because I remember playing Pong.
Pong, late 70s.
TV and stuff with Atari and stuff. That was one of the first video games. You know? We're taking you back in time before you were born,
this
Mia.
Much before I was born.
We'll get to iPhones in a minute. Don't worry.
Damn, there was a game called Zorch. And it was, remember that, Gordon? It was all text, and it started off by saying, you are standing by a tree. There's a note on the tree. So you type in, read the note.
Right.
And so you have this whole adventure underground seeking treasure, but it's all text.
Can you imagine that?
There were a number of games like that.
Yeah.
I remember inspired by The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, yes.
The Douglas Adams books, which was... If you haven't checked it out, go to the library or the bookstore. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. Wonderfully bizarre British satire.
Right, yeah. And that was very popular a long time ago. I remember that. They actually made a movie, too, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, okay, so moving forward a little bit, for Mia's sake.
I was going to say, I think the first video game I was ever introduced to was the Nintendo. My dad had an old Nintendo with Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
And with a little orange gun, that was my first knowledge of video games.
Yeah.
Of course, my little brother had PlayStation, GameCube, all that
right,
stuff. Nintendo 64.
I know.
And now we're up to PlayStation 4. Coming out this Christmas.
Oh
right.
My gosh.
Just in time.
At one point, the Sega
how convenient.
Was a, yeah. That's true. One point, the Sega was a popular machine, game machine for a brief moment in time there. But,
oh, yeah, I remember hearing about Sega.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that was pretty much when my kids were growing up and stuff, and we got them, you know, Donkey Kong, and you were mentioning that and all these games.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun, you know, but definitely these past few generations, they were born with a computer on their lap, you know. I mean, they can't get away from that. And I think that's why the lifestyle is different now, you know. I mean, we can't expect kids to be the same as previous generations because we didn't have computers. We had to go outside and play.
Mm-hmm. You know? Exactly.
No, they don't have to, you know, and it's gotten less safe to be outside alone, you know, so so that's why kids stay at home and, you know, they play video games and stuff, you know.
Sam, do you remember a movie called 2001, A Space Odyssey, Stanley Kubrick?
Of course. How can you not?
There was a computer that was autonomous and didn't let them shut him down. His name was Hal.
Hal,
remember?
Right, yeah.
Did you know if you took the letters Hal, H-A-L, on the alphabet, and you moved them down one, you get IBM?
Right. I knew that, but it's amazing.
It's not what it was supposed to be.
It wasn't supposed to be?
No. Arthur C. Clarke, who was the co-author of the screenplay and wrote the novel that was based on the screenplay, said that was always a coincidence. It was something like Hero...
I don't believe it was a coincidence, Gordon. I really don't.
I'm just saying what Clark always claimed.
Well, look what he wrote. How can you put credibility in that? And you remember Tron?
Oh, yeah.
In the movie, the original movie Tron, the bad guy was a computer program, master program control. If you switch those backward, you get CPM, which was the operating system we used before we had DOS.
Right. Yeah. Do you know what DOS is?
No.
Nope.
DOS?
Do you care?
Nope. DOS was IBM's operating system. Stands for Disk Operating System. And it basically, IBM contracted with Microsoft to provide an operating system for their first generation of computers. And Microsoft didn't have one.
Right.
They tried to make a deal with the company that made CPM. They couldn't. And they bought another operating system off the shelf from some other developer and then just continued to advance it.
Right. Well, what you missed is IBM made an appointment with Gary Kildall, the guy who wrote CPM, and on the day of the appointment, he was on the golf course and IBM showed up for the appointment. Well, you don't do that to IBM. And Bill Gates bought DOS for $57,000.
Wow.
And that guy's kicking himself every day,
right?
Getting out of bed.
Yeah. So DOS was like before Windows. I mean, you know, then Windows came out and everything and replaced it. But that's what it is, what the computer runs on, you know. So we got to keep her, like, involved in this, you know. She's going to fall asleep in a minute. She's probably thinking, why did I ever come in here this morning? Because you're totally not into technology and stuff, right?
I'm totally computer illiterate.
Yeah.
Well, you're using an iPad. It can't be that bad.
That's true. It for, like, two things.
Email and shopping.
I don't even have any games on here. There's just, like... Yeah,
I know. Yeah. Be careful.
Skype, number one, I use it for Skype, to Skype my mom.
Right.
And number two is just the internet or Facebook.
Yeah.
Be careful of Scrabble. It will steal your life.
I don't do, Words with Friends. I've never gotten into that. I'm not really.
I can't stop Words with Friends. I can't stop it. You know, I keep kicking people's asses and I keep playing, you know. It's like after a while, it's not fun if they're like 100 points behind you. But you also don't want to resign, so you just kind of keep playing, you know. But I can't get away from that. I love Words.
You're so cool,
Sam.
Look at you kicking everybody's ass at Words with Friends.
There you go. After my ass has been kicked for so many, you know, so many games and stuff until I figured it out.
No, actually, I have a friend that will literally, like, do the, you know, you can do, like, the screenshot, you know, of what's on your screen right now.
Right.
And he would post, like, his scores all the time against people, like, and post it, like, on Facebook or Instagram. I'd be like, look at my score, Words with Friends. Like, congratulations.
Yeah.
Good for you. People are obsessed, man.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And, you know, I mean, the thing is, we're only talking about 30 years ago. You know, it's not like that long ago when the PC started, you know, when computers became personal and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so much has changed, you know. I mean, the thing is, computers were like such a big deal to us. Now computers are like disappearing, right?
Yeah, I mean, our cell phones, I've got an Android phone, as does Jeff, and it can run rings around what my old IBM compatible, my first computer could do.
Right.
In terms of just raw computing power, especially as far as the way it handles graphics.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. When, like Jeff was saying, in the beginning, there were no graphics. So you played games by text, you know. And then the graphics were really mediocre and stuff.
You know, incredibly crude. Well, if anybody saw the Disney film Wreck-It Ralph last year.
Yes.
I loved that movie.
That's a salute to that era of video games. And that's how, you know, all boxy and pixely.
Right, pixelated.
Because that was the maximum capacity that they had to handle graphics.
That's true, yeah. I remember, I mean, if you could get like a picture on the screen, it was like a celebration, you know. I remember what a big deal it was to put a picture on the screen. You know?
Old 8-bit graphics.
Right.
So crude.
My, how things have changed.
Yeah, so you were born in a much better time. Now you're reaping the benefits and of all the crap we had to go through and stuff. But you know, that's the thing, is that I got into computers early on, too. I loved it. You know, I mean, not as early as 1976, although I was familiar with them. But around 79, 80, I started really getting into them and stuff. And I miss those times, you know. I mean, we were, like, so innocent with everything, you know. It's like, if you remember, PC Magazine was like 300 pages and stuff.
Oh,
now it's
Computer Shopper
was
the size
pages.
Of a phone book every month.
Yeah. It was a phone book.
And yes. I wrote for Computer Shopper a few times.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sam, the IBM PC arrived in August of 1981. It had two floppy drives, no hard drive.
Right.
And very limited capabilities. And man, did that change in a hurry.
Yeah. That's true, yeah, but you know, then Lotus 1-2-3 came out and all that, and WordPerfect and that. You never even knew those programs.
Nope.
Well, Mia is sitting here all dazed.
Well, Lotus 1-2-3.
You're learning a couple of things. Yeah.
Lotus 1-2-3 was the precursor to Excel.
Right.
It was a spreadsheet. And accountants fell in love with it when the Apple II had it. What was it, VisiCalc?
It was a VisiCalc with the Apple II.
Yeah.
People bought Apple IIs just so that they could run VisiCalc.
Spreadsheets, right.
And that's how you sell computers, by, you know, but
the killer
what
app.
They can write on, what you can run on it.
Yeah.
The same with video, you know, and things like that. The same with DVDs. It's like you wanted to watch a movie, you had to buy the machine.
You know, it's like one of the computers that we sold back in the 80s, oh, God, I'm dating myself, was the Commodore Amiga, which most people don't even know about. The Commodore Amiga was the most sophisticated personal computer on the market at the time. It could run rings around the IBM PC.
Yeah.
It was the first computer to have a separate processor just for graphics. And, in fact, a lot of special effects companies actually were using it with a device called the Video Toaster. To create visual effects for TV shows.
I remember that.
It was that.
That
sophisticated. But the problem was, because it came out from Commodore, the general perception was it was a glorified game machine.
A toy.
So it wasn't taken seriously, and it never got the software support for mainstream programs. For example, there was never... WordPerfect at the time ruled the nest as far as word processing programs was concerned. There was never an Amiga version of WordPerfect.
Yeah, so that's one
of
the
Sam's
reasons.
So Sam's point is correct. It's about the software.
So essentially, a program or a device is only as good as the content that you can easily get to run on it.
Right.
Well, you see the same thing today with App Store for Apple, for the iPhones and iPads, and the Google Play, where you get apps for your Android. That's what it's about. And that's why Windows 7 as a phone is... a distant number three.
Right.
Don't have a lot of apps.
No apps for it. That's right.
Even worse with the BlackBerry, which ruled the roost for a while.
Poor BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the functionality of the BlackBerry that you had to pay such a big premium for, now you can get easily on any $100 Android phone.
That's true, yeah. And I think the only diehard... BlackBerry users is one that like the physical keyboard and stuff, you know.
Well, corporate users still like it because
BlackBerry messaging.
BlackBerry messaging and the servers that are used for BlackBerry for secure communications. But as far as the consumer market is concerned, this is, you know, BlackBerry recently went private. Some investors bought the company, and they're taking it private, and they're refocusing on their roots, which is basically the corporate market.
I've got to tell you this story. It's a true story. There was a congressman from Ohio named Robert Ney, who unfortunately wound up in prison for some shenanigans. But he got one of the first BlackBerries. They looked like pagers with small keyboards.
Right.
And he was in New York when 9/11 happened. So his cell phone wouldn't work. The landlines wouldn't work. But the BlackBerry worked.
Really?
So 2 weeks later, the entire House of Representatives, 435 of them, got BlackBerries at $500 a pop.
Wow. Oh.
Gee, I wonder who paid for that.
Plus service.
plus the monthly. But it was how BlackBerry really got launched.
Right. Wow, that's amazing. That's but it just shows you, you know, you can be a big company and then disappear, you know, a few years later.
Oh, I know. That's amazing.
It happens all the time.
Well, yeah, I never had a BlackBerry, but people that did, like anybody that still does, everyone looks at you like, what? You have a BlackBerry? Like, who are you? Like, people freak out, you know, and they see one. It's such a rarity. But yeah, one time it was like, you know, opposite like me, like, wait, what? You don't have a BlackBerry?
I mean, it was the first machine you could use email like on the go, you know?
Actually, not true.
No?
Not true. There was a company called Palm Computing.
Oh, yeah.
They had in the 80s and 90s, actually the early 90s, I guess, they had one of the first PDAs,
the Palm Pilot,
which they then combined with a cell phone into the Trio. And I had a Trio 600.
I still have one.
I had
one.
A Centro,
which
the pink
was,
one.
I loved that phone until I drowned it.
the guy that invented the Palm, Jeff Hawkins, I think was his name, and Donna Dubinsky was their marketer. He'd walk up and down the street with a wooden block in his shirt pocket. He'd stop. Mm. Take out the wooden block, tap it with a pencil. Yeah. It looked really bizarre, but look what he came up with.
Yeah.
Wow. The Palm Pilot was a revolutionary device, there's no doubt.
It really was, you know. And that's the thing, is that companies tried to come out with tablets before, but it never really worked because of the stylus and all that stuff. Now, you know, when Apple came out with the iPhone, it changed the whole game, you know.
Oh,
it's like
for
now
sure.
It's so natural to just flick things with your finger and swipe and all these things. And nobody had ever thought about it before, you know, the touchscreen.
Yeah, because the touchscreen on the Palm that I had, you know, it was better to, like, use your nail. Like, it went by pressure, where now it's by, like, heat sensor or something.
Exactly. In fact, the new iPhone, the 5S, has a fingerprint reader
on
the button.
Which has already been hacked.
It's been hacked, but it was in a laboratory under controlled conditions. In the real world, not so easy.
Yeah. I mean, look, we hack like nuclear plants, you know. I mean, of course they're going to hack that, you know. People are going to hack everything, you know. It's just that's just the way it is, you know.
The hack attack.
Yeah, there you go, you know. And I think it's a major problem today, you know. I mean, the thing is that it's become a weapon, you know. I mean, governments use it against each other and intelligence organizations and stuff, you know. So
Sam, it's not new. Think back. Build a bigger lock, I'll build a bigger key. It's always been that way.
That's true, yeah.
So, Gordon, it's almost like the gauntlet's thrown down. I have a new system you can't hack. Oh, yeah? Watch this. Bingo.
There's actually an entire huge worldwide hacker community that has an annual convention. I went to it one year.
Black Hat?
I don't remember what it's called. It's in
called
Vegas.
The Black Hat.
It's a convention of hackers and perfectly legal to attend.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's not illegal to know the stuff. It's just when you start invading other people's privacy, then you're breaking the law.
You just hit upon something brilliant, Sam. Mm. People's privacy. How can you expect privacy when you journal on Facebook and YouTube every waking moment of your life? I had strawberry jam on my right toast this morning. Who gives a rat's behind? So, Mia, here's my question. Here's my question for you. If YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook merge into one destination, would they be utwitface.com?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I mean, it's a legitimate question.
Utwitface.com.
On that note, but I'm bummed.
I like that. That's good.
Thank you, folks. We'll be here all week.
Yeah. So, I mean, so we're seeing trends. I mean, laptops started replacing desktop computers, and now laptops are going away as well because we have tablets.
The tablets, yeah.
Right. And
more to the point, convertible tablets to which you can add a real keyboard.
Keyboard and
mouse.
Yeah,
it's a keyboard and a battery and a base. Then you put the tablet in the hinge.
Right.
And now you close it like a clamshell notebook computer, but you can take the screen and walk away.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's about the apps. That's why I was so excited when Microsoft came out with the Surface, because it's Windows.
Right.
But it's overpriced and boring.
Right. That's the tablet that Microsoft came out with.
Oh, you know, okay.
It's called the Surface.
Is that the one that has the commercial versus the iPad and
the
Siri's
funny
voice going,
yes,
oh no, not again. And then they put the little stand up so it can stand on its own. And she goes, oh dear, I need a little help here. and then you have somebody's hand like holding it up.
And when they move the tablets and you see the pricing.
Yes.
Yeah.
What does it cost? Like $800, $900?
Well, there are two versions. The RT Surface starts
Well, we don't talk about that one. Nobody's buying that.
That's true. The
right?
Pro starts at $900 without the keyboard.
Wow.
And the Surface 2, Gordon, is coming out quickly. And if you get the 500 gig model, it's $1,800. Are
you
kidding
for a tablet,
me?
Huh? Wow.
That's the price of a, what is that really skinny Mac notebook?
The MacBook Air.
That thing is amazing.
It is amazing.
It is so
cool.
Small.
Do you have one?
I don't, but my friend does.
When
and
you're
I'm
ready
like,
for one, let me know.
Ridiculous.
I can save you some money.
Oh, okay.
Bingo.
Yeah, well, I'm selling one too, so.
Yeah, I have a regular MacBook, you know, just the white one.
Oh, the MacBook Air. Samsung, Gordon, Samsung had, was it the Ultra 9000 series? Which was about the same size and weight as the MacBook Air, and pricey like it.
Right. Yeah, there's some
Samsung
new ones.
Samsung is amazing.
Yeah, I know. Samsung is really cool. They have a lot of great stuff. In fact, I was looking at a laptop from them the other day. There's some good ones. Maybe it's even the one you mentioned. You know, the one that's tiny and it doesn't weigh a lot and stuff.
Well, I think you and I should talk because we might be able to work out a trade.
Okay.
For a laptop for some commercial time for one of our sponsors. You never know.
Okay.
You never know indeed.
You never know. So now, so you've obviously followed the story of Apple and everything. Where do you think they are today? I mean, in your opinion, do you think, I mean, to me it's like I was very disappointed with the 5S and the iOS 7. A lot of people love it. You know, to me it's just like putting a pretty face on the same thing. You know,
well, you have to keep in mind that Apple doesn't follow trends. They create trends.
Right.
And so I fully expect next year, by mid-year, you'll see a 4.7-inch iPhone 6.
Right, a bigger one, right?
Yeah, because everybody else is bigger except them. Now, you know about the lawsuit between Samsung and Apple over patents.
Right.
What you may not know is the new iPhone 5S has a 64-bit chip called the A7.
Right.
Guess who makes it? Samsung.
Samsung makes it.
Yeah, and they're going to put that same chip in the new iPad. So,
so they're suing each other, but they're in bed together business-wise.
Well, Samsung needs to find the money to pay the judgment. Here's how they do it.
Yeah, and that's the way it is in the computer industry. You know, just like you said, you know, it's like people get into bed together who wouldn't normally, you know, but it's just that, you know, you have a rival on the one hand, and then, you know, they're your friend on the other. You know, like Google is a big rival of Apple, and yet Apple will carry
apps and stuff. Yeah, I remember that. They had a huge issue with the Google Maps and stuff
exactly.
for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, but yet Apple does allow Google to develop things for them, and, you know, like apps and things like that.
Well,
so
the same thing with Microsoft and Macintosh, and Microsoft developing applications, programs for the Mac platform, even though Windows is a competitor.
Right. But they started early on with that, right?
Right.
Before even Windows was a big deal.
Sam, years ago, Apple got in some serious financial trouble.
Right.
And Bill Gates from Microsoft wrote a check for $150 million to Apple.
Are you serious?
Absolutely. What? And the reason he did it is because if Apple went away, he's a monopoly.
Right.
He's a big target for the Department of Injustice.
Right.
And that's why he did that. Yeah, $150 million. what, 20 years ago, Gordon? 30 years ago?
Closer to 30 years ago.
Yeah, that was a lot more money even than it is today.
That was pre-Macintosh, wasn't it?
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Apple's history is they create new markets, but I think they're falling a bit behind. Samsung just announced Samsung Gear, which is
the
Galaxy Gear, which is a wristwatch that has a lot of capabilities merging with your phone. We've been hearing rumors, Gordon and I, about the iWatch.
Right.
But so far,
nothing.
Haven't seen it in my hand.
Right, yeah. Hmm. I don't know. I don't know if those watches will catch on, though.
They will.
Actually,
trust me, they will.
There's speculation from industry analysts that within 5 years, there will be 40 million of them on people's wrists.
Really?
Wow.
Which is odd because young people today typically don't wear a watch. They've got their cell phone. If you want to know what time it is, bring it up. You know, it's old-fashioned to wear a wristwatch, but that's all, 40 million, and that's a conservative estimate.
Right.
Wow.
But one of the things about the Samsung Smart Gear, or the watch, the Galaxy Gear, the watch, is that it does double as a phone, so that one of the things that you can do is you bring it up, it's just like the old Dick Tracy comic strip. Uh-huh. You bring it up like this. It's got a sensor, a gyroscope sensor in it, so that it senses when you bring the watch up to your ear, it automatically turns on the microphone and speaker.
Oh, wow.
And shifts it into phone mode.
Yeah, wow. And then we have Google Glass that's revolutionary as well.
And you're going to see a lot of competitors to Google Glass, too.
Yeah,
a lot
of people talking about it. Do you know what that is? Like the glasses? Where there's a computer, like right here in the glasses.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And Mia, there's a camera, so I could be wearing them and filming you and your mom, and you'd never know it. That is freaky.
That's not creepy at all.
Needless to say, there are a lot of people that have privacy concerns and copyright infringement concerns because of Google Glass.
Right.
Because if somebody's wearing Google Glass glasses and they go to a sneak preview of a new movie, there's nothing
pirating
to stop them from recording it through their glasses.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
and nobody
exactly
would know.
That's Sam, you mentioned the generational gap in technology. Betty White, the actress, said it all when she said, when young people want to talk to their friends, they go to Facebook. Right. When I want to talk to my friends, I pull out my Ouija board. That says it all.
Ouija board.
For those of you who don't know, Ouija board was a game.
It still is. It's still very popular.
You put your hands on this little device, and it starts moving across and around the board, and supposedly it's moving on its own.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
The spirit world.
And the check is in the mail. Absolutely. Right.
That would be a discussion for some of your other hosts.
Yeah. But that's the thing I don't get about people that talk about ghosts and spirits and stuff. It's like, you're supposed to be on a different plane. You're not supposed to affect things in the physical world. So how can you possibly move a glass, you know? I mean, that's just, logically, it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it doesn't make sense. One of the TV shows is about a Long Island medium.
Yeah.
And she talks to dead people.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, that's what I mean, yeah. That's pretty much it. And you have people like that all over, you know. What can you do? But maybe there's something to it. I don't know. But so the iPhone 5S is not revolutionary, but I guess it's still very popular. I mean, they sold 9 million the first weekend.
What's interesting is the price that BlackBerry was sold for is less than what Apple made that weekend.
On the iPhone, right?
Yeah, and the 5S has a very fast chip. Mm. And they've improved the camera. They do a lot of things with slow motion now for videos.
Right. Yeah.
But people are crying for a bigger screen.
Mm. Yeah. You see, I don't know that I want one because I like being able to hold the iPhone in one hand. You know, when I hold the Galaxy stuff, it's too big for my hand. I don't know.
Yeah, but I like the size of the 5.
Yeah.
The iPhone.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things also about Apple, they have this reputation of introducing new product categories, but if you think about it, they've actually just dusted off a lot of older product categories. Like, for example, there were MP3 players out on the market for 10 years before they came out
with the iPod.
With the iPod.
Right.
But Apple somehow made it hip.
Right.
You know, the same thing with the smartphone, as we just talked about. Palm had the Trio. Mm-hmm. You know, the smartphone category was out long before the iPhone. Now, Apple did add the touchscreen, which the trio, you know, you needed to have a stylus in order to be able to do, to manipulate things. But the concept was still out there long before Apple touched it. But where Apple and Steve Jobs were brilliant was in the design and the user interface.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, and it was totally revolutionary. It came out of nowhere, you know.
And everybody's following it.
Yeah.
Every cell phone now that's not a BlackBerry has touchscreen.
Right.
All the Android tablets swipe up, swipe down, same thing.
Right, yeah.
So even Apple sets the trends.
Yeah. Even the new BlackBerry actually has a keyboard and touchscreen as well. You know, it never made it. It never, it never really caught on. But yeah, so now they just decided, I think I was reading, they decided to concentrate more on services and stuff rather than phones.
Well, there was a rumor that the BlackBerry messaging service was going to be available for the iPhone system and for the Android system. Mm. And they even picked the date, which was last week. And, of course, nothing happened.
Yeah, that's true.
But for a long time, Sam, that was a company that had two CEOs. When's the last time you heard of that?
Yeah, that's true. Well, obviously, that's why they're in trouble. You know, they can't really make up their minds.
Mm. Sounds like the Congress.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I think in every industry, especially in technology, if you don't adapt, if you keep on doing what you've been doing, you're going to become irrelevant, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's just things change so quickly. You know, I mean, we could sit here and talk about all the software and hardware companies from 30 years ago. You know, you had Ashton Tate with D-Base. I mean, these were like big companies.
Huge companies.
And they disappeared.
Did you know that Ashton Tate, there was no Tate, just an Ashton?
Are you sure?
Yeah, and they came out with D-Base 2. There was never a 1.
Yeah.
The guy was a brilliant marketer.
Yeah.
It was a database that became the standard of the world for many years.
Right.
I think Ashton was actually the name of their cat.
Yes, that's correct.
Could be something like that. Yeah.
So they named the company after their mascot,
their cat. Yeah,
there
was a period where names for products. Who was it,
Broderbund
right.
Had Paradox.
Right.
And it was named Paradox because a pair of PhDs wrote it.
Right.
I know because I had Felipe Kahn on my show back in the
day. Well, that wasn't Broderbund. Felipe had another company. They were called, what were they called?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they bought Paradox and everything. They had...
And they also had Quattro Pro.
Yes, exactly.
And the reason he named it that, there was a song called Woolly Bully.
Uh-huh.
And in the song, the guy sang, Un, deux, trois, quattro. And of course, Lotus 1-2-3, so Quattro was 4. It made sense.
Wow.
Those were fun days. You don't see that anymore.
Plus, if I remember correctly, Felipe Kahn was French-Canadian.
Right. Yeah, no,
is that
he was. He was... He was an outspoken person.
Very outspoken.
And he was funny, too.
How can we not remember the name of the company? I can't believe it.
Pretty sure it's Broderbund.
No. Broderbund was a game company.
Yeah, or like home software and things like that, you know. But we'll figure it out.
Well, Broderbund came out with one of the greatest pieces of software I have ever had. It was the complete Mad Magazine on CD-ROM.
Oh, my. Alfred E. Newman.
Wasn't that something, huh?
Even came bundled with a roll of toilet paper that had cartoons from Mad printed on it.
Right.
So that way you had reading material.
You sicko.
I'm not the one that
Here
made
goes
it.
Mickey Mouse. Oh, please.
That was not Mad, you silly goose.
I'm like looking up here on Felipe, and it doesn't say anything about the company, but...
Well, look up Paradox or Quattro Pro.
Yeah, well, we'll look it up after the show. But
and we'll talk about it Friday night.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Turbo Pascal and all that stuff. Remember they came out with
Pascal was a programming language.
Programming languages and stuff, yeah. But Mia is about to fall asleep here. So we'll wrap up by plugging your show again. Tech Twins, Fridays at 7 p.m. on Channel 2. Gordon Meyer and Jeff Levy. Don't miss it. If you guys like tech, obviously you got a big taste of it now. Mia is not going to be one of your listeners. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah! Well, I'm going to show her a trick on her iPad. I think that will change her mind.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's cool.
You got to be patriotic and listen to the rest of the shows on the lineup.
I do, actually.
Okay, there's the company Borland.
Borland.
Wow. Remember? Very close.
Okay.
I have no idea what that is.
You don't know.
It was a software company.
To us, it means a lot.
In its day, it was an 800-pound gorilla as far as computer software was concerned.
I mean, you know, today you have apps for the phone. You either get them for free or 99 cents. Mm-hmm. Back then, each software for a computer was like $400 or $500, you know? So you didn't have a lot of apps. But, things have changed. Okay, well, Gordon and Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
A lot of fun, very informative. And everybody catch their show. Vera, thank you for joining us. I know you're falling asleep too, but that's okay. You'll be on the plane soon. And Mia, thank you. Feel better.
Thanks.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.